Here we go, everyone. Thank you for stepping into the Coach's Box. I'm your host, Coach JP3, joined today by Coach Jay and Coach Murph. We have a great show. We have a little bit of boxing. We have a little bit of football. You know, Coach Murph is going to break us down, like how we get this money, how we get this paper out in these streets. You know, so we got a great show for you all. I can't believe we were just talking about before we went on air that it's almost basketball season. Already, it's almost NBA season. So for those of you that are basketball fans and want the basketball content, we will not forget about you. We promise. October 19th is right around the corner. We are going to have basketball on our next show. You can guarantee it. You know, the Coach's Box never breaks promises, or at least we haven't so far. So yes, we'll have it on the next show. But we're going to get started with our segment Bet with Coach Murph. All right, talk about what happened last week and what are you looking for this weekend?
Well, last week was an interesting week. I got a small dub, so I did like a 5-pick, or not a 5-pick, but a 10-pick parlay for $5, and I ended up getting 128 out of that. I did a hedge the bet with 3 games left. For the full amount, I forgot exactly what the full amount was, but it was smart of me because I had the Raiders on that ticket. So
fate always goes down to the Raiders.
Exactly. If y'all have been following along, but for some reason the Raiders are always lying in the fate of my destiny all the time. So I think I'm going to stop betting anything that involves the Raiders, because that brings me to what I really want to talk about, because I did get a small dub, but I want to talk about the big L I took. It wasn't in the money that I bet, because it was a $5 bet, and I did the money line for all the games from Thursday to Sunday, Sunday night. Or wait, the Colts game, that was Monday? Or
that was Monday.
Yeah, so all the way to Monday night game. And I got every single game right except for the Raiders game and also the Colts Ravens. But I wasn't too worried about that, because if I got everything right down to Sunday night, I was just going to hedge the bet anyways, because it was a $5 bet. 21K payout. So I'm pretty sure if it came down to the last game, they always try to snub you to make you force it. So they'll probably offer me like 4K, but I would have still took it. So I'm just like, the odds of you getting every single game right is slim as is. And the fact that it was the Raiders that got him, they don't just have a problem with John Gruden. They got a problem with me. Because they don't want me to be great, and I don't know why. So I'll forever hate them because of that and other things. So that's all I got. Wow.
21K.
Yeah, just right there, and the Raiders blew it.
Okay. Well, what do we need to be looking out for this weekend?
Oh, yeah, sorry. They got me so passionate, I forgot.
I'm not bad anymore. I'm not doing it. I quit.
So some interesting games out there is they have – well, first of all, there's a lot of tough games this week, some that we'll have in our picks, our Fast Five picks. But the Chargers are an underdog against the Ravens. I know that that's a tough game to pick, but I can't see the Chargers losing. Like, that's the weird thing about it, is that I can't see the Chargers losing, but I still can see the Ravens win. It's just like one of those weird things. The Vikings are an underdog against the Panthers. I told y'all earlier when they were 0-2 that I feel like out of all the 0-2 teams that they will be the one to pick up some steam. We already know how Coach Jay swears by Kirk.
Yes, sir. So,
but the Panthers didn't look too hot last week. I believe CMC is playing this week, so they should be a little bit better in offense. But I still like the Vikings' chance on pulling out that win. And then those are pretty much it. For the weeks to come, bet against Seattle, because Russell Wilson is on IR and he won't be looked at to come back until week 10.
Yeah.
So at least I know the Steelers will win this week.
We will take it.
Yes. Take anything we can get. Anything.
Also, Arizona is underdogs against the Browns. I don't know why or how. But that's also I view as a toss-up game too. But I feel like if the Cardinals are the underdog, if I'm picking against Kyler and, you know, Baker. And then also Chubb is out, so it'll be Kareem Hunt and others taking, which isn't bad. But, you know, you have that Chubb to worry about this week. So.
I wonder if it's because it's in Cleveland. Maybe that's why they gave him a slight edge. I don't know. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's still.
Because they faced the Rams, so and they succeeded against.
Well,
them,
yeah,
so.
There's that too. Like they dismantled the Rams, and then y'all was against the like, and that was on the road too, right?
It was.
Yeah, so I'm like, come on now, you got to give the Cardinals a little bit more. That's how Vegas try to steal money from you.
And leading you one way.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Well, good segment as always. You have not taken a huge L so far. So technically you're undefeated. Sorry, make
even though just undefeated with some just undefeated with some battle wounds right now.
Right. You still won, you know. The battles were tough, but you're winning the war. And I got to think about what I'm going to do for this weekend, because no one wants me to be great. Like, let's just be clear. Let me tell you, I got to say, because this hurt. So, Coach Murphy, you texted me. And, you know, the bad thing is I woke up to the text. That was the bad thing. I was already down. So I had put money that Ryan Succop would make five extra points against the Eagles, right? And the Bucs got off to a fast start. Tom Brady threw an untimely interception. You know, things are a little bit shaky. I'm like, okay, but this last drive, they are going down the field. All I need is one extra point. It doesn't even matter who scores the touchdown. I just need to kick the extra point. I think it was Antonio Brown slipped twice on that drive. I think that's what hurt, because it's like if he on that second one doesn't slip, I think he scores. But he slips. And what did they do? What did they do, people? They take a knee in the red zone.
I saw that with 2 minutes left.
2 minutes left. They just run the clock out. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, so many opportunities. I was furious. I was so furious because all they had to do was punch it in. They were already in the red zone. They were right there. Ryan Succop makes it. I get a little bread. But it's like, man, like, they really don't.
You're like, could you at least kick a field goal?
give me something. Like, everybody had disappointed, like, from that time on, because Brady cooled off tremendously. So he didn't get the 400 yards and four touchdowns, because Leonard Fournette got the touchdown, you know, two touchdowns. But I was like, okay, well, at least got the extra point. I got the extra point thing on lock. And taking me.
I was nervous too, though. I was nervous because, like, also in my fantasy league, I'm facing a guy that has both Godwin and Antonio Brown. So those slips, I was kind of happy for. But then also there's a small part of me that's like, you know, it's okay if anybody else scored but those two, but I need this last field goal from my boy.
That's right, man. Like, right there. So I'm really hurt, but it's okay. It's okay. We gonna bounce back strong. We're gonna bounce back strong this weekend. All right. Well, speaking of bouncing back, we hope that Deontay Wilder bounces back in his next fight, because we talked about it here on the Coach's Box, just our predictions. It was pretty much fury across the board. I believe it was odds of 16-1. Wilder knocking out Fury. But I will say that, you know, a group of us got together to watch the game, watch the fight this weekend. Coach Jay, you were out of town. So, you know, man.
I was out of town too.
You were out of town. We had a good time and we got our money's worth for sure. For sure. 11 rounds. It was a roller coaster because Fury hits Wilder, knocks him down. I'm like, yo, okay. Is this going to be over early? Is this going to be one of those like Mike Tyson things where it's like you just pay like $80 for you to knock him out like in the second round?
30 seconds. Great.
Yeah. I hated those because when that would happen, I'm like, yo, listen, somebody else got to fight. I don't care. They fighting. Somebody's fighting. So with that being said, then Wilder comes back, you know, shows his resiliency and knocks Fury down twice in one round. So then I'm like, oh, like this could really, the tides could really turn here. But what I was concerned about was Fury's stamina, Wilder's stamina. It was not what I thought it would be at this point, having about 2 years to prepare for this type of fight, knowing that it was probably going to last longer than some of his other fights. And we talked about that last week. He looked a little gassed, though he still has some strength. He had the resiliency and heart. You started to see his legs get wobbly, you know? And so if Coach Pace were here, he would definitely put his strength and conditioning team on the hot seat, because it's like, how do you have dude that's that big and that cut up top with those skinny legs that are not going to be able to support? He's doing no squats whatsoever. No squats.
It's genetics.
Genetics. It's just pure genetics at this point. But, you know, with that, that hurts you as you have to fight longer and longer in a boxing match. And so, you know, we saw that catch up with them because your power doesn't come from just your arms. Like, he has a mean right hook, but, like, the power comes from your legs, the torque, you know, from using the ground going through your lower body to your upper body. That's where true strength happens. And that's where you need to pull from especially when you're in a dogfight. You can't go all arms, or eventually you're going to tire out. You may hit him, but the punches aren't going to be as severe. And that's what happened. That when he did get hit, Fury did, in the later rounds, he's like, oh, he's not going to be able to knock me out. Now I can go in and do my thing. I'm not scared anymore of that. So that's what I saw happen there. I expected Wilder, he did get better as a boxer, but he still has a long way to go when we're talking about technical boxing, being able to play defense and avoid some of those hits. And just looking at how do I disrupt somebody's game. He had it for like a couple rounds, but then when Fury readjusted in the middle of the fight, Wilder had nothing left for them. And those fights are all about adjustments and readjustments. That's what separates good boxers or great boxers, in my opinion. So that was the one big story and the one big takeaway. But Coach Murphy, you wanted to talk about another story about what happened right after the fight.
Yeah, like I heard great things about the fight. I've seen clips. I'm sad that I missed it. I didn't expect it to be like that. I was the only person on the panel that took Wilder, though. I just felt like he had, because I mentioned the whole weight thing, but he actually was only 4 pounds over the weight limit when he got there. So, and I mean, I thought that he would have a better chance in the later rounds, and he didn't. But one thing that bothers me is that after the fight, you know, Tyson went to go talk to Wilder and just try to show him respect. And, you know, Wilder's there saying, like, no love, no love, I don't respect you. And then he's over here saying, like, you know, I always show this guy I've been, you know, a purist to the sports. You know, he's like, I never cheated or nothing. And, you know, this is how he treats me. Like, this is what I hate about people that's like have these good careers, but then they just turn into like a-holes or like just really definitely real poor losers after fights. Like one thing that came to mind when he did that was Ronda Rousey, and hers was more so like, you know, I'm undefeated, but boom, you lose once and next thing you know, your whole world just comes crashing down before you. You know, the something similar was kind of like for Conor McGregor. He took his first loss, went, got some money, and next thing you know, he can't regain stamina. Like, you know, I one of those people that believe that bad things happen to bad people. And I feel like Wilder's going to – he'll probably have, like, a couple hiccups in his career after this, like maybe losses to other people outside of Fury, like people that he should be viewed of getting beaten because of this mindset that he's adopted because of apparently through these three fights, Fury beat the mental fight out of him.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was shocked, kind of shocked to see that. It's like when you look at boxers, they act – a lot of them act like real tough and they banter because that hypes up the fight. That gets people excited. And you want to have that competitive edge, but it's like when the dude just laid you out and it's like, okay. Now, granted, I wouldn't want to talk to anyone either who just knocked me out, but I'm not going to say I don't respect you. Like, it's different. It's different, you know, just not just being like, okay, yeah, whatever. And just kind of sulking because you hurt, you lost. And, but yeah, for him to say not respect, like that's the type of thing that I think is going to get away from Wilder progressing in this sport is that you can't have that mentality with the lack of technical boxing ability that you have. Like, you don't have the right, because what you're saying is you don't respect him, and he's the one that actually knows how to box. So, like, yeah, like that. I'm just coming, like, come on, you got to grow up from that, man. You got
to
grow up.
Also, he's just like, he wasn't trying to, he didn't want to fight you. Like, it just reminds, like, that just thing of me, like, that big brother and, like, the little brother keeps testing me, trying to fight him. And he's like, little bro, I'm not trying to do this with you. And then it's like, okay, now I got to do it. Like, that's what it kind of felt like to me. And then now you're just like, oh, now you're upset because I gave you what you was asking for.
Exactly. Yeah. It was a good fight, though. At least it was a good fight there.
Yeah.
So we're going to go into Coach Jay. Did you want to add anything before your fantasy football part?
I didn't have much to add because I too missed the fight. But just hearing what you guys are saying, I think it's hopefully it's a step in the direction of maturity for Wilder in his boxing career. It just makes me think of like the days back when I was younger playing against people on Madden and you lose and you throw a fit. You know, you got to learn from your losses, though. You can't throw the controller down and destroy your video game or cut the game off in the middle. You can't find ways to disrespect someone. You got to grow from those losses because that's what makes you a better athlete in the end. And so hopefully Wilder comes out of his funk, recognizes that was an ugly moment, and matures from it.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only thing because I think that's going to follow him through his career. And then people are going to lose respect for him. And when when your peers lose respect for you, then you're not going to have the fruitful career that you had hoped to have. And then you're not going to get those fights that you want, you know, because you're trying to bounce back. You know, he's probably going to get a tune-up fight and then he's going to want to fight a big name. But if people are like, hey, I don't respect you, not just because you lost, but the way you lost and your attitude after you lost, I don't want to fight you. I'm good.
Right. This there's no schedule that's set where you have to fight them. You kind of need to market yourself right.
And he's hurting himself a little bit right now. So, yeah. But yeah, we're going to transition to our fantasy football sit, start, and sleep. So, Coach Jay, go ahead and lead us off and tell us what you're thinking about for this weekend.
For sure. So, we are entering into, I'd say, a critical time where obviously you're going to be finding teams that are and whatever in your league that are leading super strong, maybe even undefeated 5-0, and those that are losing 0-5. This is the time where I think if you're at the bottom of the pack, you might want to start to make some adjustments or maybe quit making too much crazy adjustments. So here's my advice. These are for my 0-5ers, my 1-4ers out there. If you are wanting to find a starter if you got him on your team, Joe Mixon is the guy you're going to want to go with to start off. Mm-hmm. Joe has been, I personally think, a silent killer through the past couple of years in the fantasy league. He's usually found, I usually find him being drafted around the second round, but he ends the season pretty high up as far as productivity for running backs. Joe is going to do well this week. Easy opponent they'll be facing. So I don't anticipate that you have any issues. If you're going to go with a sitter, though, I would sit Robert Tonyan. And that's the tight end of the Packers. I know that's tough to hear, but they're going against one of their rivals, going against Chicago. Chicago's defense has showed up. They look like the Chicago defense of the years past. And Tonyan is up there. I think he's like the number six tight end out there, but I don't think he's going to do so strong having to play against a few of the best linebackers out there in the NFL. And then if we're going to sleep and add somebody in that's a sleeper, I'd go with Jalen Waddle. We know Miami's not looking great as a team. However, I think Waddle's going to get plenty of opportunities. He doesn't have as much competition as Devontae Parker will be sitting for this week. This is the second week he's sitting. And then we know that Will Fuller is also on IR, and he's not really reliable, to be honest. He's always hurt somehow, which means a lot of the targets are going to fall into Gesicki and Waddle's hands. So I would say those are my start, sit, and sleepers. Good luck, 0-5ers out there.
That's a good list. I ain't mad at that. Coach Murph, what do you got for us?
I was about to say, Coach JP3, you was paying attention to that, right? That 1-4.
Okay, listen. So Coach J, you know how well I'm doing so far in our church league. I the pretty much broadcast. I have the opposite record with Coach Murph. And I have a good team. I'm just getting.
Let's talk about it.
Every single.
Unlucky.
Unlucky. Yeah, I'm using that term because I have a solid score. And Coach Murph beat the brakes off me this last week.
Man. It might be another one because I'm facing you in our church league this week.
Yes. And I okay. Yeah.
We'll get to that. Trash?
Yeah, we won't get to that later. We'll get it. Hey, go ahead, Coach. This is about you.
So a certified starter for me this week is Kareem Hunt. He's been doing great as is with his split carries with Nick Chubb, but Nick Chubb has just been ruled out because of a calf injury, which means that Kareem Hunt will get even more touches this week. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think the Arizona's like run defense is all that great. And then also with all the styles they use Kareem Hunt in, that it'll be – I mean, he'll do great numbers this week. My sleeper is Amon-Ra St. Brown. That is one of the receivers for the Detroit Lions. They're playing Cincinnati this week, and he's starting to get a lot more targets from Jared Goff. I think in the past 2 weeks, he's got probably almost 20 targets. So he'll be someone to look out for. And my sit will be David Mills. I want to say his name is. But, the quarterback for the Texans, yeah. I know people have been asking me because of the hype of last week, but I'm like, no, he's still bad. he just caught lightning in a bottle. So don't believe the hype and sit him down.
I'm not mad at that either. Yeah, I saw. I was like, man, that's a good fantasy week for him. But it's like, can you string that together, back to back games? I doubt it. Not going against Indy, who is going to take their loss out from the Ravens on the Texans. So like,
yeah, that kind of
yeah, not doing that. Not doing that at all. Okay, so mine. I'm looking at. Okay, I'll start with the start. Michael Pittman Jr. Speaking of the Colts, I think he has strung together quite a solid season and is not getting a lot of shine, not a lot of publicity. But you saw him there on Monday night. Despite the loss, like, he did his thing. as a receiver. And you're seeing as Carson Wentz becomes a little bit more acclimated to the offense, the receivers are benefiting from that. And Michael Pittman Jr. is a trusted target of his. And when you're talking about the Texans and the dumpster fire that that franchise is, I think that's a field day for all Colts. And so I should be saying start all your Colts, but if you narrow it down to one, I would say start Michael Pittman Jr. So that's the start. You know what? I'm going to go sleep next. So sleeper, I can't believe I'm about to say this. Ben Roethlisberger for the sleeper. Because he shouldn't be anyone's number one quarterback at this point in time.
Oh, boy.
But some of you may have a bye week. This is the first bye week of the season. So you're looking at if you had a Jameis Winston or if you had a, 49ers QB in your lineup, you could, you know, you're going to want to have to find a backup. I would go with Ben Roethlisberger. Primetime game against the Russell Wilson-less Seahawks. Their defense is suspect to begin with. And looking at their offense isn't going to be as fluid as it usually is. That should be plenty of opportunities for the Steelers offense to rack up yards and points. So I'm going to live as much trash as I talked about Big Ben. I think he'll have a good week, or at least I hope he does, because I'm starting him in one of my leagues. Because so,
see, this is why you're 1-4. That might right there.
Oh no!
This is the league I'm 4-1 in. This is the league I'm 4-1 in, and I'm playing Coach Jay. And so I need Ben Roethlisberger to do well, because Coach Jay has a good squad. How we allowed him to get Davante Adams and D-Hop on the same squad, I don't know how we had
that happen. What? Not through, like, straight through the draft?
Straight through the draft. Straight through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And QB is – that's good.
And it's like a 14-team league, too. Like, how did that happen? I don't – anyway. Okay. So
– we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. The sit is – and I like him, too. Allen Robinson. I think you got to sit him from now into the foreseeable future. The Chicago Bears offense is atrocious, okay? And it's not all on Justin Fields. Let me be objective about that. So, you know, Nagy is supposed to be really good at running offenses and being creative in that. And the way that they've used Justin Fields has been a harm to him, I feel. Like, how do you really expect to see what your quarterback's got if you're not going to give him the keys to the car, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, they're more like, okay, you can ride in the passenger seat, but we don't want you driving, Justin. You know, it's like, it's not going to work that way. And he's getting better game by game through the limited, you know, throws and run of the offense that he has available to him. But Allen Robinson's numbers have truly suffered from this whole transition that's been going on with the Bears. So, unfortunately, I'd sit him now and for the foreseeable future until they give him the keys to the car and Justin Fields continues to improve. So. That's my start.
Totally have to agree with that. I feel like even when Dalton was starting and, I don't know, Nagy was so adamant about, like, just, again, holding back Fields. I mean, I know he's a rookie. You want to slowly allow him to become acclimated, but it just doesn't feel, like you said, like the team is any good. And, you know, offensive line isn't great. He's not protected, you know, the coaching style as far as play calls, it all just doesn't work. And I don't know who the most productive, like as far as point wise for fantasy, who's the most productive player? Is it the defense? You know, you don't know who's really scoring points. Maybe David Montgomery, but he's hurt now. Right. But you don't have stars there showing up and showing out.
Their defense is banged up too. I know Khalil Mack was dealing with some injuries. And so it's like, you can't depend too much on the defense to at least keep the score close and keep the score down to give Field, take the pressure off of Fields. And we're talking about a Green Bay high-powered offense.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play from behind most of the game is what I'm anticipating.
Yeah, they're doing like – this is a week – they're trying to do a week one project that they're already a quarter into the season. Like, you're past that. If you wanted to do that, y'all should have just made him starter so he would be better by this time. But you can't, you know, regress back to week one while everybody else is, you know, five games in.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Who would have thought that the Chicago Bear loyal fans will be calling for Mitch Trubisky right now?
Oh, geez.
It has come to that. It has come to that, that Mitch Trubisky looks like Tom Brady to the Chicago Bears right now, franchise right now.
That's because he's a backup QB. Y'all bring him back and he gonna look just the same. Just this wild, you know, uncontrollable quarterback.
He's better than Dalton, though, right now.
He is.
Yeah.
He's in a better situation. But yeah, they are desperate for anybody.
Anybody that can throw the ball, anybody that can block, anybody that can play. Sign up now for the Chicago Bears. Yeah. So Coach Jay, like, you really think you're going to walk away with a victory this week?
You know what? I don't know, man. I reached out to you on our app, and I was like, it's going to be an interesting week. I honestly don't know. I didn't talk any trash because we got a bye week with some of my leading scorers here, in Cordell Patterson. See, Pat, you know, he's sitting, and then I got a couple of few guys that are injured and IR is picking up. I think it'll be a close battle, but a low scoring battle for the both of us. Just to give, I guess, the audience a little idea, I'm starting with Kyler Murray, Devontae Adams, D-Hop, and then I have to make up something with his running back situation. So I got Devontae Booker, and then some. Yeah, we'll see what he does against the Rams. The rest of these guys are looking kind of questionable. Maybe Dawson Knox will show up. I don't know. Amari Cooper. I don't know. I still have people that are on my bench that might be in the flex. So I don't know if I'm going to be that strong this week. And then you got a good team too. I don't know what to expect. So I'm not going to talk any trash, make no promises.
You know what? Because you took the high road, I will also take the high road.
See that y'all don't have that killer mentality. This is exactly what Jordan was talking about in his doc. He said, everybody can talk trash when they're ahead, but can you do it when the score is tied or when you're down? Talk trash right now.
You know what, Coach Murr? That was one of the most inspirational things you've ever said to me. Like, I'm supposed to be your mentor. You over here mentoring me. You know what? You were absolutely right. All right, Jonathan, you about to get your butt kicked this week, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay. So, okay.
Ben Roethlisberger is about to turn back the hands of time. I say that with like 53% confidence. So,
right.
But I do have Deontay Johnson as well. So if Roethlisberger's on, Deontay Johnson will also be on. Either way, I think he's going to get a lot of targets, so I think he'll be fine there, especially in a points per reception league. I have Jonathan Taylor, who showed out last week and actually won the game for me last week with his performance. I was down by maybe 11 points going into the Monday night game, and Jonathan Taylor just took that pass and went 75 yards with it. And I said, oh, I'm going to be good then. This is good. That was like the first quarter. I'm like, oh, I'm good. So
I'm going to bed.
I'm good now. I can sleep good, real good now. Jonathan Taylor, I think he's going to have a really good game against the lowly Texans. I got Kareem Hunt. So now that Chubb is out of the way, him getting the bulk of the work, that would be great there. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce versus Washington. You know, Washington's front is really good, but their secondary is vulnerable. So I think Kelce would do well there. See, I have James Robinson against the Dolphins. The Dolphins have been extremely shaky this year.
Mm-hmm.
The game's in London, so I think Robinson will get some good looks. Yeah, I'm with you on some of these because some of the flex options are pretty questionable. I picked up Jerick McKinnon from the Chiefs just because, you know, I have people in my, I have a couple folks in bye week. So I'm hoping that he can do something and get some looks in Edwards-Hilaire's absence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we'll be okay.
I think it'll be a close battle. I'm going to keep it on the high road. It'll be a close battle, but I think it's going to come down to the little, not little, but the marginal points that come from those flexes that we're questioning about. That's where it's going to come down to.
Come down to me winning. That's what you're supposed to say.
Oh my gosh.
My score being higher than yours. That's what's going to come. Hold up. Okay, so we would be remiss as a show that loves to cover sports, but also social aspects and the intersectionality of such. So someone who was on the hot seat but didn't need to stay there because the NFL took care of business pretty quickly was none other than former Raiders head coach John Gruden. So, Coach Murph, I know you had some stuff on your chest that you wanted to get off. I'm going to let you go ahead and go first. We'll go with Coach Jay, and then I'm going to wrap this up with that.
All right, so I don't want to drag this out, but, I mean, everybody's seen the messages. It was repulsive. We all know that in the NFL that there are people like this, owners and stuff, but a lot of my issue has to be with, like, what John said was a fireable offense, but I wanted to take this a little bit higher than that. This, I feel as though, is a wool being pulled over our eyes. I feel like John Gruden is a big enough name to diverge us for something else, because if for the people that don't know, those emails came about because of an investigation that's being done with Washington. Right. But John Gruden has no ties with Washington, especially back then. So I think there's something higher up they're trying to cover up and get together before they get exposed. I think it's going to be like I think there's a Donald Sterling type thing coming down the pipeline. And this John Gruden thing is buying them some time. Because I find it odd that someone that has nothing to do with the organization is the one that's getting put on blast. And then also Bruce Allen, the one that was getting the emails, something has to come out about him, because me and Coach JP3, we're friends. Me and Coach Pace, we're close friends. But I talk to you both in two different type of ways. Mm-hmm. So you have to have some type of comfortability with this person to email him some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me in the span of over 600 and something messages that nothing was said by him? Mm-hmm. So that's... and then also there's another issue that I have. This is more so with the NFL, that they had these emails before the game last
week. Yep.
The first thing that came out was the racist comments, and it was just like, boom. And, you know, he still coached the game, so on and so forth. And then after that, they put out all the misogynist stuff. And, you know, the homophobic stuff or things. And then that's when it was like, oh, boom, we got to shut it down. Or go ahead and resign, so on and so forth, because I guess they didn't want to fire him and give him some dignity. Why was he able to coach the game after racist remarks? But when the other stuff was dropped, he has to leave.
Right.
I feel like if that stuff came out first, he wouldn't have been sidelined that game.
Mm-hmm.
So my issue is, like, this is what we say in terms of racism, that it's not thought of. This is exactly what everybody was taking issue with the Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy that he just released, Closer, that how we're not as viewed as, you know, as other minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we allow the majority to diversify us, so that it's like, if one thing is wrong, it should be wrong across the board with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
One thing shouldn't be happening, but if something else happens in a different order, then it calls for some different type of action. The action should have been the same. So that's kind of my thoughts to all of what's happening surrounding that email and the whole investigation.
Yeah, you hit on some real good points, man, because it just literally happened right before our eyes, what Chappelle is talking about. And I'm surprised that I'm surprised, but I am surprised at how much just bad behavior and toxic culture lives behind the scenes. I thought I knew, but I mean, they're talking about a lot of folk. You talked about the owner, you talked about Coach Gruden, you talked about you talked about those things, but there's more reports that are talking about NFL lawyers, and you got cheerleaders involved. You got so much that's like behind the scenes, and it makes me look at the game differently again. Like, I love the game of football, but maybe the business behind it is dirty. What's that group? Boys Club? Is that, I can't remember the name of the group that is just basically white older men that are just in power, in charge.
Yeah, the good old boys club.
The good old boys club. It just, it to me, it just oozes with that, that whole culture. And it just makes me like step back and really have to think about, I don't know, I love the game, but what am I supporting? What else is out there? I agree, Coach Murph, that something else is still out there. I mean, maybe this Gruden thing is the distraction. He's gotta have to be the sacrifice for whatever is being covered up and time being, you know, made for it. But I'm disappointed just in how much filth. I feel like it's just filth that's just behind the scenes. And you know, you see folks like Gruden talked every Monday night when he was with ESPN. That man, that face, that voice was not the same as what you saw in the email. So it makes you just wonder, like, how many folk are we seeing masks versus how many folk are we seeing the real them? And it's disappointing. So, yeah.
It is. You all done a tremendous job of covering this, so I'm not going to belabor the points. I do agree. Like, I don't always like the way Dave Chappelle gets to his points, but I do like his points. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not agree how he frames it to get to that point. But yeah, I think mm-hmm. we did see that come to fruition right in front of our very eyes, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, so this whole racism thing wasn't enough to fire him. He had to do a whole bunch of other stupid stuff
mm-hmm.
in order to get the, you know, even if it was just like a indefinite, you know, something like, hey, okay, well, we got a lot of other stuff to look through, but we saw this as extremely problematic. So you're not going to be able to coach, and we're going to review the rest of this stuff, and then we're going to come with a final ruling. Like, something like, you know, you could have done any type of a thing, or just saying, hey, though, this is enough by itself, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It also makes me think of, you know, how many others carry this mindset. They're just not dumb enough to put it in email, you know? So like, Donald Sterling, like you said, he was just the one that was dumb. You know, he got recorded. He didn't know he was being recorded, but you know, he said it. Mm-hmm. Allowed it recorded, and so it hurt, and to the point it put the NBA in a position where they had really no choice but to get rid of Donald Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
But his, you know, slumlord ways, in the way he had been racist to black tenants in his buildings and stuff like that, that wasn't enough for him to get punished. He had mm-hmm. to get recorded out loud, then it got blown up, and then the players got behind it, you know. So like, those are the kind of things that I think about there. I always knew there was something up with Coach Gruden. I just couldn't put my finger on what it was. I was like, maybe just weird. You know, like sometimes some people are just different, you know? Like, but the thing that hurt me the most was watching commentators before it got to the point of the homophobic and, you know, that the toxic masculinity type stuff like that. They defended him, including some of our Black commentators. That's what got me, right? So John Gruden doesn't hold any control over your paycheck or whatever, right? You're getting paid by NBC, you're getting paid by CBS, you're getting paid by ESPN. John's a head coach in the NFL. So, and it's not stuff you haven't said about other people before. So let's just be honest. Just be like, hey, you know, he wasn't that way to me. This blindsided me, but what he did was extremely wrong and he needs to be punished accordingly. That's all you have to say. But to say, oh, he's not that type of person, that's the same type of stuff that white people do that infuriates Black people. Mm-hmm. And to see
white people. You talking about Mike Tirico?
With Mike Tirico in particular, on Sunday Night Football, do that. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you can talk about how he didn't act that way towards you. That's fine. But needless to say, he acted that way towards someone. He just didn't say it to your face.
That's true.
So that bothered me a whole lot because I think that perpetuates some of the problems that we have in society there. You know, outside of that, Coach Murph, I think your point is well taken as far as this whole Washington investigation and how this all started. And, you know, they got a lot going on over there, you know, a timeline of having a racist football name, you know, football team name. You got sexual assault and harassment going on in there. And so there's a lot of smoke. When there's a lot of smoke, there's fire somewhere. Someone's doing something they're not supposed to be doing. So yeah, I do see some more things being handed down. I think that not all of it is going to be covered up, but I think they may cover enough of it up where they don't have a severe punishment like they did for Gruden. And that way the NFL looks like, hey, we're doing our job here. See, we fired, you know, this coach, and we're, you know, we're penalizing this coach, you know, or this owner too. So I think they'll try to play that type of game. When you talk about the good old boys club, and see this thing about it that also made me upset is then after the firing, people came out the woodworks and start saying stuff about Coach Gruden. So Keyshawn Johnson was like, I never liked him anyway. You know, I always thought he was, you know, didn't trust him. Brady Quinn comes out and was like, yeah, you know, when he was talking, when I was getting drafted, there was some weird stuff going on. I didn't know, you know, so like this, people have been holding this inside for a very long time. And decided to, you know, to let it out there. And I don't know. I think sometimes in situations where trauma is being inflicted on us, I understand why we may not say anything. But when stuff is happening and it's like stuff that we witnessed, then you need to be saying stuff about that because your silence and your lack of navigating your own discomfort temporarily can result in someone else's permanent discomfort because you're allowing that person to continue to perpetuate whatever they're doing wrong.
It makes it okay.
He's not your coach anymore. So if you're Keyshawn Johnson, he holds no power over you. And you've been very bold about other things that you said about other people. So it's not like it's not in your personality to do so.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I look at things like that, but I'm glad that he's no longer coaching. It makes me wonder about other things that he's done that we don't know about. That this was just the fraction that we find out about it. And just to see so many things like, you know, homophobic, toxic masculinity, racist type things. It's like, bro, like who are you? Like you're exactly. In charge of mentoring men. Most of them Black men. So if I'm a player, right? If I'm a player or a former player of Coach Gruden right now, I'm questioning everything.
Yep.
Everything.
And that's even if he didn't say it to them.
Exactly. Even if he's always treated me well, did he always have this in the back of his mind when he talked to me? Was he giving me lip service? Is this why he didn't take me seriously? Like that, you know, it's going to take a while for people to come to peace with that. And for that, I feel I empathize with those people who are feeling that right now. So.
Oh yeah. I'll say one more thing too. I think, you mentioned that it was a firing, but really it was, you should resign. You should resign. You know, this was no plastering, you know, you didn't get fired after day one, after hour one, you know, this was a go ahead and resign. And I think another thing that I'll mention is that the owner of the Washington football team, I don't know what a punishment for an owner looks like. I feel like, you know, back in the day with, what was the dude's name? Jerry Richardson of the Panthers. Yeah. His punishment for his pretty much same stuff was you can't control the team. Just find somebody else in your family to control the team. Mm-hmm. I get, you know, that ownership, you know, and capitalism is a whole nother thing, but I don't understand. This is, to me, it just doesn't make sense why the owners themselves, they don't really face a punishment. To me, it doesn't seem like one.
Sterling got a boatload of money.
He just right. didn't
know it, but someone had to buy it from him, right? So like, cool.
Right, you just can't own that team. You make your money and leave. There's no real.
Yeah. So, you know, for this, and I appreciate that because, yeah, he was not fired. And so it's like after you've taken people's dignity, you get to resign with dignity.
Come on now.
Like, yeah, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't match.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about points of privilege and people of privilege, then you don't even get punished the same way. You still get to have a softer landing.
Right.
Right. Than other folks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What a black coach do that? He's fired. He's out of there.
He's gone. Immediately.
So, yeah. Yeah. We can't even get any to get an actual head coaching job. Like, to even get fired. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So, yes. But yeah, we thought it would be, it's important for us to really kind of to process and talk about these things. And so I'm anxious to see what else comes out of this situation. And if there are going to be any new policies or procedures put in place for the NFL to prevent stuff like this from happening in the future. So we'll see.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
All I was going to say, after all, they are the ones that are talking about putting in racism in the end zones and we're all in this together and all those messaging.
It's on the helmets.
It's on the helmets. It's on the fields, on everything. Seeing your commercials, you put it in the Madden football game, you know, video game, so this was your time. Okay, what are you going to do with this now?
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Coach Jed.
No, you're good. I interrupted. I was going to say, and I really do wish the best for the Raiders team. You know, I don't know what kind of craziness this is going to affect because Gruden had a very big part of that team's development. And so I'm hoping that they take that positive piece and keep moving forward. We've seen a new Raiders team. They are no longer the scum of the AFC West. They have picked up, and I hope that they keep up with this and that this doesn't shut them back down to where they were before.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they were, you know, one of the better teams in the league, looking teams in the league, you know, to this point. Mm-hmm. So that leads us into our conversation about power rankings, right? So we are, we're about a quarter way through the season and we have a nice little resume for the teams in the NFL now. And in true media fashion, we're going to go ahead and make some, you know, power ranking judgments right now off of this sample size. So we're going to identify our top five NFL teams right now. Starting from one and going through five. This one was a really tall task, I think, for us. I will start. I'll go ahead and start with this one. This one, Yeah, they haven't lost yet, so I got to put them at the top.
Okay.
I can't hate on that. They have played quality opponents and have beaten them. You know, mm-hmm. a signature win there against the Rams. So this is where it gets dicey. You know, a 2-5 is just dicey for me. I mean, the Bills showed up against the Chiefs on Sunday night. I may be prisoner of the moment, but I love what I saw there. You know, looking at the only losses being on opening day against the Steelers there. Ever since then, they have gotten better every single game. They're starting to click more. I had them at number 2. I have the Bucs at number 3, just because they have been a model of consistency. I know they did drop one to the Rams, but I think they've looked pretty good all season long. Their defense, mm-hmm. they've had injuries, and I think that's what's accounted for some of the points that's been put up on the Bucs, but they find a way to win. Mm-hmm. That being said, I have the Rams right after them because they just done a phenomenal job this year of being a model of consistency. Matthew Stafford has looked excellent with the, you know, he had a little shaky performance there against the Seahawks in the first half, but righted the ship in the second half enough for them to get a win.
Yep.
And then actually my 15, the LA Superchargers. And this could be a little biased by me. I love Justin Herbert and I am really excited about his future, but they've looked really good and they've beaten mm-hmm. quality teams in the process. And mm-hmm. the game that they, you know, they did drop a game, but it was against Dallas, who was also right there, you know, right there in that mix. Mm-hmm. So I take that as a loss against a really strong team, a really talented team. So I have the Chargers at number 5. So we'll go with Coach Murph. Who do you have in your top 5?
And also with that Chargers thing, even with that loss, like it was a winnable game. They just had some unfortunate calls in the red zone that cost them. So.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But I feel, well, my number one, I feel like it should be the same across the board. The Cardinals, undefeated team. They look impressive even against the quality teams they played. So I just feel like there's no argument there. But we discussed a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, that we both had Murray as, you know, the top of our MVP list, and also Cliff Kingsbury being the top of for the running coach of the year. So number 2, I still view the Rams as a highly quality team. I feel like after, you know, the win against the Bucks, and then the way they lost against the Cardinals, everybody just started, you know, to sleep on them. And then also against Seattle, it was kind of like it wasn't one of their most impressive wins. But defense is solid. You know, offense is amazing. I feel like people just started to sleep on them a little bit, but now you see with that loss against the Cardinals is that that's now a lot more believable than when it happened.
Yeah.
So 3, I have the Bills. I like what Josh Allen is putting together. That secondary is looking really, really good. So I view them as a high quality team on both ends. And they're starting to be a lot more productive in the run game, which is something they struggle for a couple years. So I like them there. 4, Chargers, Justin Herbert looking great. And I'm not going to cut too much into that because we pretty much talked about it after you mentioned them. And then 5, I have Tampa. They have the loss against the Rams. The past couple weeks has kind of been, you know, mediocre. They have a lot of injuries in that secondary, and is why they're looking even more like beatable. Like the fact that, you know, you have a close game with Philly.
It was hard to say.
That wasn't hard to say because actually truth be told, before the game started, Coach Pace hit the group chat and said, like, hey, I think Philly can pull this off. Anything can happen any given Sunday or Thursday.
That's true.
I can't say exactly what I said in that text message. Being a Philly fan.
Had some four-letter words in it here and there.
But I told him, I was like, hey, no. You should, you should go talk to somebody. You should get checked because that's not going to happen. Because I expected us to get the doors blown off of us.
Yeah, like, I did too.
Like when, like, I don't know, like 42 to like 17 or something like that. Because our offense, it's struggling. I mean, you can see from Jalen Hurts, it's more so his deep ball passing because he waits too long. So that's why he's underthrowing everybody. I feel as though that he is locked into this college system where, like, when everybody's wide open, but now that you have to actually process and throw people open in the league, he doesn't have that. But I still like him. I feel like he still deserves more time. You know, a lot of people are turning their backs to him. But anyway, that's a team that you should have destroyed. The whole Patriots thing, I understand, you know, homecoming, you beating Breeze with this record in your, you know, where you pretty much built your career at. So, yeah, but you still should have destroyed.
They should have lost. Too.
Yeah, like, so.
That's crazy.
That's why I have them at 5. I mean, they're still a solid team. Brady and that offense, Antonio Brown reinserted himself.
Okay.
Your point about the Chargers, is there a more dangerous duo than Keenan Allen and Mike Williams right now?
No.
Like Evans and Antonio Brown or Evans and Godwin?
No,
I thought about that at first, but not this season, surprisingly.
They're looking definitely dynamic. Like, I can't think of any. No.
It used to be, that was last season, but it used to be Thielen and Jefferson. You don't have that scary 1-1 wideout. I don't see that anymore. It's pretty nice. Now, I still say that Keelan isn't what I was expecting him to be, but don't sleep on your boy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know why Thielen and Jefferson haven't been popping off? Because Kirk can't get him the ball.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Can't get him the ball. Okay.
They're really dynamic. I feel like the only, in terms of receivers, the only ones that come close is probably Robert Woods and Cup. Yeah,
there you go.
But that's by far. So,
yeah.
Because even for them, it's kind of like they tag team it. Like, you know, one has a really productive game, then the other one follows up that the following week. But, you know, it's like every week they're both productive. Just like they're both putting up numbers at the same time every week.
Yeah. I kind of went through like a Rolodex of NFL, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, you have Lockett and Metcalf.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them explode this season. We've seen Lockett have really good games. And then DK Metcalf was kind of like mediocre. Then he had a pretty good game. Yeah. So, you know, they haven't been hitting on all cylinders.
I was gonna say maybe game one with Dallas with Cooper and Lamb.
Yeah.
But that's not there anymore.
Yeah, it's not. Like to Coach Murr's point, it's like one will have a really good game and another one have a really good game, and so they're definitely
same with Hill and Kelsey.
And Kelsey, yeah, they're dynamic duo, but they're not hitting at the same time. That combination right there has been absolutely deadly. And no one was really looking at Mike Williams.
No.
Yeah.
Coach Murph was.
Yeah.
Coach Murph was. Nice. Well, I'll throw out mine. My top five. I got the same number one as you guys, Cardinals, until you get beat. You're number one. Now, like you said, 2 through 5 is tough. I kind of was looking at records. There are 7 teams that are 4-1. The Bills, the Bucks, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Packers, the Ravens, and the Rams. So that's kind of tough to squeeze. I don't think that we go lower than 3-2 or lower than 4-1. 3-2 teams are not quite up there in the top five, but that's a tough crowded group. So I would say really who's standing out from that bunch. I have to lean again with the Bills. They seem to be improving as the season goes on. And their armor doesn't look like it has kinks. And to you guys' point, the Bucks, their armor's looking a little weak in a couple of chain links. So I wouldn't put them at 2. I'd put the Bills at 2. But at 3, I would actually put the Chargers. Ooh. I feel like the Chargers are, at 3, explosive. Which, and maybe I'm, again, you called it, what'd you say, someone who's suffering from recent memory or
prisoner of the moment.
Yes. Just the explosion that they had with the Cowboys and then with the Browns. I think that was amazing. Now I do need to see better defense, but if you can keep up with that, good luck. We talked about the duel as well. Good luck. So I would put them at number 3, right before the Rams, number 4. The Rams are explosive. They got a great offense, great defense. It took me a bit to actually say that because I would have put Rams 3. But I feel that, and this is all feeling, I feel that the Rams, I don't know if it's going to happen all the way on offense. They have a great team, but I don't know if they have that same explosiveness on offense, but that's just my thinking.
Wait, so you're telling me you believe in Kirk Cousins more than Matthew Stafford?
I didn't put the Vikings in there. I didn't put the Vikings in there. All I said was the Rams will probably be number 3. That's my power pick, okay? My power ranking. Okay. I'll get to my Kirk Cousins statement here later when y'all end the show. You go cut me off in the middle of it. But I'll go to my number 4, and I'm debating, man. I still got the Ravens. I still got the Packers. I still got the Cowboys, believe it or not. And from that group, 4 and 5 is tough, man. 4 and 5 is tough. I think I'm going to throw the Bucks actually in there. Oh, wait, I already said the Bucks, didn't I? I'm losing count. 1 was the Cards, 2 was the Bills, 3 was Rams. The Chargers, 4 was the Rams. Okay, so I'm at 5. Yeah, so I would say 5 is going to be the Bucks. I think that's probably my list there. I don't think the Bucks can afford another injury. We saw Richard Sherman leave the field in the middle of that game on Thursday against Philly. So if they're going to go down with another injury, that might push them out. And someone like, I don't know, the Packers or the Ravens, who have somehow snuck in 4-1 territory, could slide in that spot, or maybe even the Cowboys. That's my list.
Okay. Nah, those are good lists. Yeah, it did get tough there because I was trying not to be prisoner of the moment with the Ravens because that game was absolutely phenomenal. And just looking at, you know, Lamar Jackson's growth there and them coming back to and they're sitting at 4-1. I the reason why I didn't include them is because the game against the Lions, like you should never be that close with the Lions ever. So that kind of took that away. Green Bay, with them getting absolutely annihilated on opening day, you know, so like the Bills got beat on opening day. The Packers annihilated on opening day.
Yeah, you
know, so like that really kind of sticks in my mind. And Mason Crosbar does it again. All these field goals. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I literally was sitting there like, did I just see 5 straight missed
field goals? Yes, sir.
Like, is there a betting line on this game? Did Coach Murph make a special phone call that you'll go anymore? Like, they trying to end this in a tie? Like, I don't,
right.
I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. I've never really seen that before.
It was a lot in that week, too. It wasn't just that game.
Yeah.
There was a number of missed kicks.
Yes. I look at the who else missed the big kick? There was somebody else that missed the the Colts game, right? Yeah, because the Colts had an opportunity to get that field goal.
I want to say yes. I got to go back.
Yeah. I just remember there was just a lot of misses. I can't even keep up.
It was insane. It was insane that the extra point is no longer a bathroom break. Right. The extra point is like an anxious moment of you don't know what's about to happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're about to start celebrating field goals and PAT
right?
touchdowns. Big contract. Mm-hmm. They're probably trying to make bigger contract for the kickers. They're doing this on purpose for a bigger purpose.
Right.
See how important the kicker is?
Yeah, exactly. When they go away, that's when you see how important they are.
Yes. Well, our last major topic is, speaking of Lamar Jackson, absolutely phenomenal season he's putting together right now. And then you have Josh Allen, phenomenal season he's putting together. And of course, people like to put these guys together, you know, coming out, playing at the same time, getting that experience and both leading their team successfully. The question we're going to ask here, if you had to pick one, who is your starting QB and why? You're starting a squad. Who are you starting at QB? So, Coach Murphy, are you good going first on this one? No.
You're not ready.
Coach Jay, you want this one?
I could take a stab at it.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to stick with Josh Allen.
Okay.
Why? Well, at least this season. This is all based off of this season for me. So I have seen more consistency with Josh than with Lamar. They both have had their not so good games. I wouldn't even call them bad, but not so good games. But I feel I've seen stability between the two of them, more so with Allen. I think that you're going to have a dynamic quarterback with Jackson. Of course, you're going to have the running game. Both of them offer that. But I've seen Jackson lose the ball more than I like to see. Fumbles are not a major problem, but they are a thing this season for him. And, you know, he really had to claw back even with the Colts. And it wasn't clawing back. It was cutting back on the running and really becoming a better passer. I think if he ran a little bit more of that game, they might not have won. They might not have made that amazing comeback. And that's what kind of holds me back from wanting him to be my starting QB. Now, he's thrown more yards than Allen. He's got 1,500 plus. Allen's got 1,300. He's thrown less touchdowns, but he's been more efficient, I'll say that, than Allen. 67% of his passes are completed versus 62 on Allen. But I think that Josh has been, he's also a runner, but he's been more, I feel, more not stingy, but diverse with his passes. He's gotten Dawson involved, his tight end. He's got, I don't know, somehow Emmanuel Samuel to get past the old age, and he's back to his young, ripe, wide receiving body.
Oh yeah.
And then Stephon Diggs hasn't even waken up yet. He's still asleep. He's still in the locker room. So wait till he wakes up. I think that Allen is probably going to be more stable throughout the rest of the season for me to put him as my starting QB on my team, my fantasy league, whatever. I would lean towards him.
I think I'm ready.
Go ahead, Coach Murray.
Oh man. This is going to be tough for me because I have to admit something. So is this a safe space?
This is a safe space.
So this has been an argument between me and Coach Pace for years.
Mm-hmm.
He was always on the side of Lamar Jackson, and I was big on Josh Allen. If I had to pick a team or pick someone to start my team with, I would have to go with Lamar Jackson. I'm switching the tide. So I love what they're both are doing. I mean, Josh Allen is an amazing QB. But the thing with Lamar is that every year he's getting better. His weapons around him hasn't changed much. You know, Josh Allen had the addition of Diggs after his first year. So for Lamar Jackson to have pretty much the same receiving core and backs and just constantly getting better, because his biggest gripe was his passing and accuracy. And now he's getting better. You're seeing him great in the clutch situations. You always feel like you're in the game as long as he's, you know, on the field. He's been healthy as much as a runner he's been. So I feel like it's the unknown, because we know what Josh Allen is. I'm not saying that he peaked, but it's kind of like, all right, you're a prototypical quarterback, but you can run a bit. But I feel like Lamar Jackson isn't even close to his peak, because he could get a lot better at passing. And at that point, things is going to get real scary around the league.
Okay. Literally did not know who I was choosing before the show started. Because I had that much respect for both of these guys. I want to preface this by saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. And this is something, if you'd have asked me before the season, yeah, I would have definitely gone with Josh Allen with little hesitation. I'm looking at, you know, I said this on an episode a while ago, that the thing that is hindering Lamar Jackson's progress is Greg Roman and that offensive scheme. If you are run heavy, you really can't see what your quarterback's got as far as throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not surrounding him with the talent of wide receivers, you're making your quarterback's job harder, and you're not able to see what he's got there too, because they have done a poor job, to your point, Coach Murph, and a poor job. Because what was Josh Allen before Diggs showed up?
It was 1 year.
It was 1 year, but Lamar Jackson was getting MVP. He got an MVP, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's
like
true.
That.
That's true.
With no one close to Diggs' talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at, you know, with Hollywood Brown being your best wide receiver, Mark Andrews is a really good tight end. I think when we're talking about Kelce and Kittle when he's healthy and stuff like that, Andrews has
a better quarterback.
Yeah, huh?
I said Ertz when he's with a better quarterback.
And we're going to see. That was big news today. Ertz is a Cardinal. Yeah, like
nice to see.
It was sad. I saw it coming. But, I mean, because it's been coming down the pipeline for months. I didn't see him with the Cardinals, but.
Man. Because they just lost their tight end to an injury.
Yeah.
So that's a good move. Yeah. That's a good move for them. But, so looking at that, Coach Jay, to your point, I don't want to see Lamar fumble that much. I do want him to hang on to the ball. But I'm also looking at Josh Allen. Stats this year so far, he has 3 fumbles this year.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 of them, in the opener,
mm-hmm. right? Against the Steelers.
So he's had some ball, you know, handling issues there when it comes to holding on to the ball. You know, I think they're both equal on the rushing touchdowns so far this year. I think they both have two. But Lamar has more yards. Lamar, you talked about his completion percentage. His QBR is higher than Josh Allen's.
Yep.
So I'm looking at that, and it's just – and I have huge respect for Josh Allen. When I saw him leap over that defender against the Chiefs, I said that boy good. That boy
good. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
I was not expecting that at all. Like, I was like, man, if I was his teammate, I would be, like, lit right now. Like, I would be super hyped. Like, to give yourself up like that and to make a move like that was dope. But it's just something about – I can see Lamar slowly progressing where he's throwing more yards per game than he's thrown in his career. And that's because when you have like 15, 16 players on IR and three of them are running back, you're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. And that was what I was saying this whole time, is that Greg Roman and staff and Harbaugh have to push him more, challenge him more. That's what they did with Patrick Mahomes. That's what they've done with Josh Allen. They've pushed them and say, we're not going to be able to see you grow until we put you in uncomfortable situations. And see what you got. Let's open it up. We're going to have to, it's a risk. We're going to have to trust you, but that's the only way you're going to grow. And to see him respond in the way that he has been shows me that he knows what he's doing. Yeah, he's got maybe an errant ball, you know, errant throw here or there. But most quarterbacks do. Ben Roethlisberger keeps throwing it 5 yards above the receiver's head all the time.
And they're only 5 yards out.
And it's only a 5 yard pass. Like, I don't understand. So, but I look at that and I say, you know what? I think Lamar, as he's continuing to be challenged, he is rising to the occasion. And the fact that he just goes in the game, you know, against the Chiefs, and he's like, no, we're going for it. I'm getting it. And takes it upon himself to get it. Mm-hmm. We saw Monday night, and the crowd is going crazy, and they're chanting MVP, MVP. He looks at the crowd, tells them to calm down, and then goes and throws. That's just like, I mean, like, it's just like, that's just like a boss move right there. Like, I love it. Just cool. Like, you know, so I'm going with Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying it's a landslide. I think it's really close. Yeah, I'd be happy with either one of them, but I'm going with Lamar.
And to cap that off, like I said, one of another thing that I like about him is that as much as he's ran the ball, his durability as a quarterback. So, like, you know, the better he gets at being in the pocket and throwing, he's going to be able to take those punishments. And then also in terms of stats-wise, that's underrated is his decisions with passing the ball, because like you said, he has a better QB rating than Josh Allen, but he also has three less passing touchdowns, but a lot less interceptions. Lamar with 21 and Josh Allen with 33.
And when you're in a run heavy offense, you know, you're not going to have as many throwing touchdowns. So it's like, I can't hold that against Lamar at all.
Yeah.
Even this season. So yeah. Yeah.
I'll challenge with this. I agree that the Ravens offensive organization is in the place where they have to throw the ball. They have to. I mean, yes, you got Tyson Williams and a couple other, you know, people that can carry the ball, but now they have to pass it, should I say. They have to pass the ball. And Lamar has come alive in that moment where you can trust him to pass the ball well and not worry about a few too many wild passes. But I have to argue with consistency. I want to see that from him more than just the fourth quarter against the Colts when you're down by 16 points. I want to see that consistently. And that's where I'm leaning more towards Allen, because I've seen more consistent games where he's had stronger QB ratings. Allen in the last three games has had over 100 QB ratings. Lamar, this was his first game where he's had a QB rating of plus 100. It was 140. Is that the spike? Is this a flash in the pan, or is this a consistent? I really do want it to be consistent high, because that Lamar, that second half Colts Lamar looked amazing, both deep and short game. But I'm curious if this is the same moment we saw when Cam was with the Patriots. Cam Newton played against Seattle with the Patriots last season, and I've never seen a more accurate Cam Newton than that game. Was it a flash in the pan? I think probably was. The rest of the season, he was not playing that well as far as accuracy. And so I'm hoping that this isn't a flash in the pan. I need consistency in order to say, Lamar, you're the guy.
You give Lamar a consistent receiver, he'll show you consistency.
I respect that. He definitely does not have the receiving core that the Bills have.
Yeah, this I don't blame people who go either way on this side. I mean, these guys are incredible. I mean, the NFL is in good hands. Like, so when Brady and Rodgers bow out gracefully, you know, Rodgers will probably do it in a couple of years. Brady will do it when he's like 65 and eligible for AARP. Like, he'll
right.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we have some really talented quarterbacks, not to mention the Kyler Murrays, you know, that are in the equation. And, you know, of course, Patrick Mahomes, you know, but I give Lamar a lot of credit for that Kansas City game, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge moment for him to beat a team he's never beaten before. And to do it when they're hitting on all cylinders. And Lamar is like, don't worry, I got this. And does it. And I know Josh Allen also responded with that, but the Chiefs has also sustained some injuries since then. Their defense has gotten progressively worse each and every week. Like, we talk about the Bears defense that just needs anybody. The Chiefs defense needs anybody that can guard anything.
Right. You know,
whether it's a receiver or Buckingham Palace or whatever, like, you need to be able to guard something, because they are people just running wide open, just wide open. So, you know, you got to, like you said, Coach Day, Emmanuel Sanders is just open. Like, there's no one within 5 yards of him. He's just standing there. You know, like, you're not going to be able to win a Super Bowl like that. But I look at the Ravens defense also. They're not really good, but they played well enough on Monday night to stop the bleeding and say, let's give our quarterback a chance to win this game. Okay, let's get him the ball. And when it worked. It worked. So,
It did. Absolutely did. That's a tough one, man. It's really interesting just to see two quarterbacks who have beat, the Goliath of Kansas City. Who's the next king of the hill? Because if the Bills were not doing so well, if they were, say, 3-2, one game away, one loss away, then I would start thinking the AFC might belong to the Ravens. I don't know. You know, I don't feel like there's too much other. You do also have the Chargers, but I'm thinking outside of the KC. Division.
And one last point. I mean, we did hint at it, but the Buffalo's defense has been great for the most part. So Allen doesn't always have to play from behind.
Right.
Like, Lamar's had to overcome double-digit leads multiple times this season.
This is true.
Right. So it's different when you're playing either even, maybe a field goal behind, or you're ahead. Mm-hmm. It takes the pressure off your quarterback. Josh Allen hasn't had to really deal with that for most of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd love to circle back with this later in the season and see where these guys are.
We're going to revisit this.
These
guys are incredible. Like, so it's going to be an ongoing conversation. So enough of last weekend's great games. We have some great games to look forward to this weekend. So we're going to go into our Fast Five. We're going to name the winner and the score and the projected score. Speaking of the Superchargers, playing Baltimore, one of my favorite games of the week. Can't wait to watch this one. Justin Herbert, Lamar going head to head. I just said I would start a team with him, but I think the Chargers are going to win this one. I don't trust the Ravens defense enough, right? I think Lamar is going to have to play from behind once again. And you can only do that so many times and be successful, right? Mm. There's only so much a person could do. So I think the Chargers are going to win. I have a score of 30-23. So it's not going to be a blowout. I think Lamar will get them close, but it's not going to be enough. So Coach Jay, who do you have? Chargers at Ravens.
Yeah, this is a good one. 2-4-1 teams. They're playing at the Ravens. I actually think this is a game where the Ravens need to prove that they should be a top five team and that they are not imposters. So I'm going to go with this. I'm going to call it an upset. I'm going to say the Ravens win this one. I'm thinking that it's going to be a high scoring game as well, probably 34-31. And I think the Chargers defense might start to be a little bit more on the questionable hot seat. Where is it at? Where is it at? We keep letting teams score a lot of points against us. So that's my score take.
Man, I hope you're right. I really hope.
I went with the Chargers 35-33. I just feel like it's going to be a high scoring game. Both offenses are explosive. Both defenses can be questionable. Mm-hmm. But I just trust Williams and Williams a lot more. Yeah, and Allen more than anybody on the ring.
Even Lamar, who you just vouched for. Okay.
Listen, we didn't say Herbert versus Lamar. We said
Allen. Good point. The next one, another game I'm looking forward to seeing, Cardinals at Browns. So we were talking about, hey, Cardinals are a number one team across the board. They're going to have to back it up here against Cleveland at home. Cleveland is down Nick Chubb. I think that changes the whole dynamic of the Browns offense. From a fantasy standpoint, we talked about Kareem Hunt would be good, but I don't think that bodes well for Cleveland as a whole. I expect that Baker's going to try to get Odell Beckham involved a lot in this game as a way to try to balance, since you don't have a balanced rushing attack anymore. But the Cardinals defense has proven to be pretty solid all season. Even when they bend, they don't break much. So with that being said, I have the Cardinals winning in Cleveland with a score of 27-20. So Coach Murphy, you have in this one?
I got Cardinals 28-24. We see the change in how Baker plays whenever Odell's inserted in the lineup. Plus, I mean, the Cardinals has just been on a hot streak. I just can't see them losing now to the Browns, even on the road. Also, I know that I think both Kyler and Baker have like some nagging injuries. I think I don't know if it's both of theirs is their shoulder. I know Baker's is, but you can trust Kyler to do a lot more with his legs. So,
Which should neutralize that pass rush that the Browns have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just hope that the Cardinals make – I want the Cardinals to make it to the Super Bowl, man.
That would be dope.
If they do that, just to let y'all know, I moved out to Arizona, and ever since I've been here, the Suns made it to the finals.
Thanks, it's you.
Whoa. Great. First of all, they made it to the finals. the WNBA team made it to the finals against guys. So I mean,
they're also gonna lose.
Hey, we're just gonna be the state of second place, I guess.
The second place team in all leagues. Yeah.
Yeah, make it to the Super Bowl and lose.
Yeah. No, I would love to see the Cardinals. I'm right there with you, man. I would love to see
the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
So next up, the Russell.
Oh, I'll throw my prediction out real quick.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No worries. No worries. I'll make it quick. I think that the Cardinals are going to win as well, but I do think this is going to be a tough dogfight. You mentioned the injuries, Coach Murph. I think that's what's going to give the Browns just a point too short. I'm going to give it 17-18, a very low scoring game.
Ooh, nice.
17. Yep.
Seahawks at Steelers is our next game. We talked about Seahawks without Russell Wilson. Geno Smith did pretty good after the Wilson injury against the Rams. And so I'm looking like, okay, you know, I think Geno Smith could at least be competitive, make the offense competitive in this game. But I don't think it'll be competitive enough to beat the Steelers because the Seahawks defense is so questionable. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this partly because I feel this way and partly, you know, as a prayer of wishful thinking that especially with the Steelers at home, I see the Steelers winning this one 27-24 against the Seahawks. Like I said, I think the Seahawks are still going to generate points, mm-hmm. but they're going to have to play catch up. So that 24 is actually going to be close because they're going to have to close the gap as of late in the game. Yes. So that's what I have. Coach Jay, who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I like that late touchdown to finish it off. I'm going to go with the Steelers, too, as a fellow fan. I feel confident in our defense to throw off a decent-looking Geno Smith. I think that the Steelers are probably taking this similar to score, probably 24-21, even without Juju. I think they'll still be fine.
Coach Mark?
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers, 28-17. I just don't see – like, Geno looked good, but, like, I think him trying to overcome that defense they have is going to be his downfall. I feel like they're going to try to have to do a lot more faster than he wants to, which is going to cause a lot of mistakes. So I'm going to roll with the Steelers on that one.
And also – maybe a fantasy sleeper for those that are looking for a quarterback. Geno
Smith. No.
Okay. I thought I'd test the waters just to see what you all thought. Okay. Bad idea. So
you better be in a 14 or 12 player league.
So now we're going to switch to some college football. By the way, just side note, that Penn State Iowa game was bananas.
And then we had the Bama loss. That was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, college football has been absolutely crazy.
The churn. Yes.
Yes. It's been great. So we have two games against ranked opponents here. We have number 12 Oklahoma State visiting 25 Texas. Texas, to me, is one of those teams that they're good mostly because of who they play. And they're talented enough to get enough recruits to hang on to be competitive. But right now, they're right on the edge of not even being ranked. So I look at Oklahoma State as a motto of consistency. I can't believe I'm saying this. But Oklahoma State has played very consistent football this year. And I don't think Texas has the offense to be able to keep up with that. Now, their defense isn't nothing to you know, praise or anything like that. Oklahoma State's isn't. But I don't think Texas has enough firepower to be coming back from double digits in the game. So I'm looking at Oklahoma State winning this one 45-38. So Coach Jay, who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I agree. I think Oklahoma State has been consistently keeping up, you know, and I would probably say that they're going to win this one as well. I'm going to go with a bit of a lower score, 28-24.
I am going with the upset. I'm taking Uh-oh. Texas. I actually might bet on that game too. I just feel like,
okay,
me seeing them versus Oklahoma, and you know, even though they just kind of wet the bed on the back end, they show me their capability to put up points against good teams. Mm. And I mean, their only two losses came from ranked teams, Oklahoma and Arkansas, where I feel like Oklahoma State really haven't played anybody of, if, especially not to the talent that Texas has faced. So I feel like they're more so battle tested. I think it'll be a 38-33 Texas.
Wow. Nice. If you end up getting money off of that, I promise you can't even get 5 extra points by Ryan Sucker. and our last one is number 1, Georgia at 11, Kentucky. Kentucky has gradually become a more competitive team. And I have family in Kentucky, and they are absolutely ecstatic. As you know, people think about Kentucky basketball and they think about race car, you know, NASCAR and stuff like that. There's a lot of fans doing that, but they love their Kentucky football too. Don't sleep on it. But I don't think this is the day where they make their mark. I think Georgia is just one of those teams that they respect Kentucky, but they don't fear Kentucky at all. They know that position by position, they have the advantage over Kentucky. For Kentucky, I could see them being a little intimidated this game, and that kind of hesitation, that mindset going into this game, I think is going to put them behind early in a hole that they're not going to be able to dig out. Because they don't have, I don't think they have the firepower to come from behind much either. So I'm going to go Georgia 30 and Kentucky 21. Coach Murph, who do you have in this
one? I'm taking Georgia, no question, no hesitation. 28-10. Okay. We just witnessed them 27-0, another hot team. So it's I just feel like they're the team to beat in college football.
Christian?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia as well. Kentucky, this is kind of where the flash in the pan kind of gets simmered. I'm going to go 35-13 Georgia. Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia. Well, we thank you all for another episode, you know, tuning in with us for the Coach's Box. I'm your host, Coach JP3, on behalf of Coach Murph and Coach Jay. We hope y'all have a blessed, safe weekend and enjoy the games. Peace.